Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 2015 Dolce Mexicana de Valores Earnings Conference Call. My name is Julie, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. We will conduct a question-and-answer session towards the end of the conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Ramon Gomez, CFO. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I would like to welcome you all to the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to the Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at the Bolsa. Such statements reflect current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which the Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from these described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded, and a replay of this call will be available online on April 23rd at the Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, and as we have done in past quarters, 2014 figures will be presented on a pro forma basis in order to consider Indeval full consolidation. All figures are in Mexican pesos unless stated otherwise. Joining us for today's call are Mr. Oriol Bosch, CEO, José Manuel Allende, Senior Vice President of Strategic Planning, Jorge Alegría, Senior Vice President of Market Operations, Roberto González, Senior Vice President of Post Trade, Luis Carvalho, Senior Vice President of Technology, and myself, Ramón Gómez. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Oriol Bosch.
Good morning and welcome to our First Quarter 2015 Conference Call. As you know, this call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. As always, all figures are in pesos and compared to the first quarter of 2014, except otherwise stated. I would like to start by commenting on the recent organizational changes. Since the beginning of this year, 67 employees, 10% of the total headcount, have left the BMV group. This decision was taken after a detailed analysis where we identified redundancies, duplicities among the various companies, as well as activities that could be automated or that were considered of low value added. The idea behind this restructure was to promote and improve productivity and efficiency. I am happy to tell you that our team has responded very well, and we have continued to operate with no negative impact to any of our business lines. The other change was the resignation of Jorge Alegría after 12 years in the BMV group as CEO of Nextel and SVP of Markets. Jorge has decided to move on to new challenges outside the BMV group, and I am sure that he will do well wherever he goes. I will be taking over the role of CEO in Nextel and will oversee the other trading business directly. It is important to mention that the impact of these changes, both in severance costs and in savings, is already included in our guidance, so we will not be changing our full-year expectations of net income, keeping them between $800 and $820 million, with an EBITDA margin between 48% and 49%. I would now like to comment on the new derivative regulations. Last Friday, 17th, the central bank published new rules regarding mandatory clearing of standardized swap contracts. Accordingly, as of April of next year, all key swaps will have to be centrally cleared. While there is significant volume, which is traded abroad, we do believe that the local market represents a significant opportunity for us, especially since the regulation applies to all financial institutions and not just banks. This complements the regulation published by the Ministry of Finance at the end of last year, and effective in September 2015, that established higher capital requirements for OTC trading and reduced capital requirements for using a clearing house. We expect these regulations to have a positive effect on our clearing house assignment. Also in derivatives, I want to tell you that we will be strengthening our promotion efforts in the TSWAP, the US dollar contracts, the IPC contracts, and in particular in the M-Bonus contract. These are the peso-denominated government bonds with a very liquid spot market or cash market, both locally and abroad. Most importantly, future contracts for these bonds are listed locally. So we believe there is an important opportunity for Mexer in the current environment. I also want to tell you about the dividend policy adopted yesterday by our board. The board's policy for future years will be to propose to the shareholders' assembly the payment of an annual dividend of no less than 75% of net income. While the exchange has had a consistent track record of dividend payment, we believe it is a better practice to publish a policy on the matter. Let me now move on to the financial results. As you recall, 2014 numbers are pro forma and considering the bulk consolidation. We are starting the year with a solid first quarter. Revenues grew 13%, while expenses were up 6%. This is leading to a 20% EBITDA growth, as well as a 48.5% EBITDA margin, and a net income of $192 million. Total revenues for the quarter were $621 million, that's 13% above first quarter 2014. Let me review by business line. First, the cash equities trading and clearing revenues increased 15% and 8% respectively, explained by an increase in value traded to a daily average of 14.6 billion pesos during the quarter, compared to 12.9 billion pesos last year. The lower growth rate in clearing is explained by the amount of cross trades executed during this quarter. Regarding derivatives, even though contracts traded are down 12%, Mexer revenues are flat versus last year. This is explained by the contract mix, since the more profitable December 24 contract offset the fall in the less profitable US dollar contract. However, our clearing business, Athena, is being hurt by the 17% drop in margin deposits, which explains the 13% fall in revenues. CIFICAP revenue grew by 15%, and the growth is coming especially from NDFs in Chile and IRS trading in Mexico. Listing and maintenance revenues are growing 10%. This reflects a 12% growth in maintenance annual fees, which is partly offset by a 2 million reduction in listing revenues. The lower listing revenues are explained by the lower amounts raised in short-term debt, 49 billion versus 63 billion last year. On the other hand, medium and long-term listings grew 96% and 91% in number of listings and amounts raised respectively. The most important debt issuers were Pemex with 24 billion, Funo with 10 billion, and BBVA Bancomer with 5 billion. In equity listings, we had two follow-ons, Vesta for $3.4 billion and Racini for $1.3 billion. As we have mentioned before, we could see a fall in maintenance fee during the second half of the year, as mutual funds choose to delist as it is now permitted under the new regulations. The custody revenues increased $2.5 million or 2%. This is explained by the elimination of intercompany operations. Without this, revenues would have grown 9%. The offsetting revenue growth can be seen in other income, where it is reflected as less intercompany eliminations. Revenues in information services grew 28% due to a 17% increase in Valmer as a result of the good performance of our price vendor business, especially in risk valuations, and 35% growth in data sales, which reflects last year's price adjustment and this year's appreciation of the US dollar. Expenses for the quarter amounted to 335 million, 6% above first quarter 2014. Personnel and technology expenses are growing, while we have savings in fees from SIF Chile and other expenses. Growth in personal expenses is explained by the 4% average wage increase, additional fees revenue, and severance payments. Technology expenses are increasing 28%, but this growth represents the timely recognition of expenses this year, as technology expenses are in line with the 2014 average. Savings from SIF Chile fees are caused by the restructure of our JV in Chile. Before, some employees received part of the compensation through fees. However, we now set up a new company where the Chilean brokers are shareholders. The offsetting amount for the reduced fees is in minority interest. Other expenses are lowered by almost 6 million, explained by the reclassification of telecommunications expense to technology in the fourth quarter of last year, and by lower traveling expenses. This income and expense results led us to an operating margin for the quarter of 46.1% and an EBITDA margin of 48.5%. At the bottom line, we posted a net income of 192 million, an increase of 11% compared to the same period of last year. With this result, I think we are on our way to reach our guidance of net income in the range of 800 to 820 million pesos, and for EBITDA margin between 48 and 49%. Regarding Indeval's acquisition, as of today, we have already paid 31 out of the 39 shares. As you may recall, the total amount to be paid for the 39 shares will be in the range of 1 billion pesos, which we decided to pay using a commercial bank loan with a 5-year term. Each shareholder of the Indeval has until July of 2015 to exercise its option, at which date the exchange is required to exercise its call option. I would like to mention that this Friday we will be holding our annual shareholder assembly, and among other things in the agenda, there is a proposal for a 569 million pesos dividend payable in May, and a 77 million capital reduction payable in the fourth quarter, subject to approval from the authorities. The sum of this is equivalent to 1 peso and 9 cents per share, and it represents a payout ratio of 93%. With this, I conclude my presentation, and me and my colleagues are ready to take any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Press one, star one to begin. Please stand by for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Ernesto Gabilondo, BBVA Bank.
Hi, good morning, Jose Oriol, and congratulations on your results. I just have three questions. The first one is if you can provide us more details about MLPS, such as structure, fiscal benefits, size of listing amounts, and when are you expecting them to come to the Mexican market? Secondly, which are your expectations in terms of cash and derivative volumes? We have recently seen that there are important efforts to boost the future of the M bonds. And finally, Can you give us some color of how relevant could be the impact in second quarter regarding extraordinary expenses related to the 8% cut in payroll? Thank you.
Hi, Ernesto. Thank you very much for your question. First, regarding the MLPs, we think that there is a very good opportunity for the Grupo Bolsa. As you know, there is a lot of interest from investors, local and foreign investors, to participate in the in all the potential growth that we are going to see in Mexico, thanks to the reforms, to the structural reforms, mainly on the energy side. So we're working in a project that at the Bolsa did in the past with the Secades and the Fibra, and now we think that we are missing a product, which is something that we have already been working during the past months together with the financial authorities, and hopefully we are going to be able to offer this product to our investors soon. I do not have a date that I can provide at the moment, but we think that this is going to be a great opportunity, business opportunity for the Bolsa. Regarding cash and derivatives, it is true. We are doing an effort, as mentioned. We are going to continue to focus on that and increase the all the promotion that we are doing on the derivative side. As you know, and we have a very liquid market in Mexico on a lot of different products, including on the interest rate side, both on derivatives, on T-swaps, as well as on M-bonos. And if you compare that with other developed markets, you have a lot of liquidity on both, on the cash side as well as on the derivatives. In Mexico, we only have a very liquid market on the interest rate side, on the cash side, so we are missing the other part. And I think that we also have a great opportunity there, mainly because of all the changes that we are seeing in the regulation globally and locally, and all the capital expenses, etc. I think that this is going to be an opportunity and an advantage to develop to continue to develop the derivatives product in particular on the interest rate side, but keeping the interest in all the other contracts, where we also believe that there is a lot of room. And I will pass the third question to our CFO, Ramón Gómez.
Ernesto, the savings we expect for the second half of the year could be in the range of 15 million pesos. But I would like to point out that these savings are included in our guidance. So beyond any adjustments that we may make in the future, the plan, the reduction plan, is benefits are included in the guidance. Just want to make sure of that.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mr. Real and Ramon.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you for your question. The next question comes from the line of Alex Sparza from Itaú BBA. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hi, gentlemen. Good morning. Congratulations on the results. I have one question. Could you comment on how much revenue could be lost by BMV with the delisting of the mutual funds? And then I'll come back with a second quick question. Thank you.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for your question. The number is, assuming that all mutual funds leave, all the list from the Bolsa, the impact would be 16 million pesos, 1-6, if they go out as of July 1st. But we're already working, and this is not a fact that they are going to leave, so we are offering them other opportunities to continue in the Bolsa, and we are trying to compete in this market as well.
Okay, and that's 16 million pesos per year, right? Or that's only for the rest of 2015?
That would be 16 million pesos for the second half of the year. So the total is around 32 million pesos for the whole year.
Per year. Okay, that's very clear. Thank you. And the second question is a quick one. Assuming the dividends and capital reduction are approved by the shareholders on Friday, when will the stock become ex-dividends? Do you already have the date?
I think it's 3 days before the payment date.
Okay. Thank you, Ramon.
The payment date will be determined in the shareholder assembly.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you for that. The next question comes from the line of Fred Demaris, UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions on my side. The first one is a follow-up from the first question. Obviously, the key item for the quarter was on OPEX. Can you mention, you know, for the next quarter, what's your key focus? What is the line where you think you can do more work or control more of the cost, if there is one? Would that be more for personnel? Would that be more for technology? Where do you think there is the most upside in terms of cost controls? And then my second question, you mentioned the change in regulation on the derivatives, which was expected for a little while. Any chance you could provide some kind of guidance, or how much do you think it could impact revenues whenever this is implemented? Thank you.
Good morning. The most important effort in terms of cost is the reduction in personnel that we just had. Besides that, we're going through our major suppliers and looking for benefits in negotiating prices. So you'll see that across the P&L, you should see some benefits. But we are the only focused effort within the personnel reduction. Not other lines, I said we're going to supplier case by case.
Okay, gotcha. And on the thank you, Alan. And on the personnel side, you would say we're mostly done, or is it an ongoing analysis that you're doing?
I think that for the most part we're done. You know, there's always some. You could always have some more movements, as in any company, but the major effort is done.
That's great. Very good. Thank you. And on the
your question.
Yeah, regarding your question about the change in the regulation, I would say that the upside potential that we have is huge, and I'm not giving you a number, but let me give you some information. If we look at the interest rate market, on interest rate swaps, on tier swaps, as well as on domestic debt, on MBO contracts, the liquidity that we have on the cash market compared to the derivative market, there is a very big difference. I would say that in both cases, the cash market is trading more than 90% of the total traded volume. And in Mexdere, we have less than, in some cases, much less than 10%. So, trying to answer your question, I would say that, and looking, as mentioned before, looking at other developed markets, if we had, I don't know, a balance of 50-50 in traded volume, I would say that the room that we have is more than four times what we are currently trading. So, I don't know. I do not have a number, but I would say that the potential is pretty big.
That's great. That's very helpful. Thank you. And do you
think thank you, Fred.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up. Do you think Bolsa would be able to capture this potential, or do you feel or fear that maybe other platforms would be able to clear those OTC derivatives?
Well, we're in a free market, and we have to promote a free market for everybody, including us. So there is a competition, but I think that we are ready to compete and to face all the competition.
That's great.
And the other thing is that keep in mind that we also in the group of also we have as you know, different companies and business lines. And we cover all different markets. So we are covering the listed, the formal market on the Mexdere side, but we are also covering the OTC market to our C5 company and JV.
Yes. That makes sense. Thank you very much for your for the cover. Thanks.
Thanks. For
thank you for your question. The next question comes from the line of Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. My question, I guess, maybe a little bit of a follow-up to the last one, but in terms of your outlook for Mexicare and you know, derivatives volumes, you know, they've been weak, and you know, we've heard about the change in regulation, you know, especially being positive. But maybe you can give us a little bit more thoughts also with the cost-cutting program and okay, like the stepping down. Just yeah, how you see the future, I guess, of Mexicare. Can it benefit from the change in regulation, or will that just be more for us on the clearing, the OTC derivatives? And also, of the employees that were laid off, can you say in a company work from Mexicare or how they, from which different segments of the company they were? Just want to get, I guess, specifically more on Mexicare and how you see the outlook for that business involving kind of the long term, and I guess it was involved in your restructuring plans and kind of some of the rationale behind the decisions you made there. Thank you.
Thank you, Tito. Let me start with the last one. Regarding the headcount reduction, it works across all different business and non-business lines. And basically, the idea was to be much more efficient and trying to do even more with less people. But we are not close to continue to increase our headcount. We are now going to be more selective and much more disciplined when hiring people, but we are open to continue to hire people if there is a business opportunity. And as mentioned, and I believe that there is a good business opportunity in there. So I'm sure that we are going to be hiring people mainly on the sales side for our Mexicare company. And regarding the outlook for Mexicare, I think that the outlook and one of the strengths of the Grupo Bolsa is the diversification that we have in different companies and business lines. And one of the particular strengths of Mexicare is exactly the diversification. And if you look at the numbers, we had a reduction in compared to the past years on the interest rate swap contracts that have been traded in Mexicare. However, we have seen an increase on the peso dollar contracts, and now I'm hoping to see an increase on the domestic debt bond contracts. So we have a lot, and as mentioned, we also cover IPC, the benchmark equity index contract. So we have a lot of products that we cover in Mexicare, and not just the interest rate, but the interest rate contracts, as you all know. The traded volume we have is very low, but this is the bad and the good news. I think that the bad news is that yes, it is very low, but the good news is that the potential that we have if we increase that is going to be very significant.
Okay. Maybe you know, if you look at revenues from derivatives and derivatives clearing, you know, the last years have been pretty weak. So do you think you can get back to the levels you saw back in 2012 where it was around 10% of revenues kind of from derivatives related? Or you know, could it potentially be even above that? Just want to maybe quantify a little bit, and I know maybe hard to do, but just want to get a little more color there.
Yeah, absolutely. It is hard. I do not have a number, and I do not want to have it. I would prefer to say that we want to catch all the potential that we have in this opportunity, not using a previous year reference. So, and the opportunity is for both, is for Mexicare and for Athena, and obviously there is a very high correlation in between both. So if we do well in Mexicare, we are going to be doing well in Athena.
Great, fair enough. And maybe just one final question. Moving on the equity side, you know, we've heard a lot about, you know, you have a good pipeline of deals, but I guess it's been taking longer to realize some of them. Can you give, and I know it's hard to say when some of these deals will actually come to the market, but can you give maybe a little color, at least in the short term, kind of what you're seeing there in terms of IPOs and how big the pipeline remains? Thank you.
Yes, we have been building and increasing the pipeline that we already had since the end of last year. We have had a couple of new names that are already public, but on the public pipeline, I can say that we have almost 10 new potential IPOs, and we have. I'm hoping to see probably around half of them before the end of the first half of this year. But as you know, it depends on first on the company and second on the market. So we'll see. Hopefully, we continue with positive markets and we'll see them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. The next question comes from the line of Rafael Escobar from Vector. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good morning to everyone. I wonder if I may, how do you see at the end of the year derivatives clearing Asigna business? I know that you don't disclose the income by line of business, but do you see the derivatives line could probably decrease 7 to 8% this year?
Rafael, what we saw this quarter was especially the drop in margin deposits. We're hopeful that we have some recovery there. So it's very difficult to predict the derivatives, especially with the new regulation and the part that's coming in September. But I think that the big impact and the number we have to look out for mostly is the margin deposits, which we publish on a monthly basis. And that will give you the best, that's your best guidance as to where we'll be going.
Okay, I see. Okay, thank you, Ramon.
Thank you for your question. The next question comes from the line of Gabriel, who's sending from Bradesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions. First, on CIF ICAP, I'm wondering if the levels you've seen for the revenues this quarter, if they were lower on seasonality, and if we should expect to see it back to the levels of third and fourth quarter later this year. And also, second question, on the Indeval revenues, we saw that you have done some changes, you removed some intercompany dealings. I'd like to get some more color of that to try to understand better what has happened. Thank you.
Gabriel, let me begin on the intercompany transaction. We had the custody institution had the technology in the business for the clearing, for cash equity clearing. So it would bill the central counterpart for the usage of that system. And there we get about $9 million pesos per quarter of revenues, of intercompany revenues. We would have the revenue in the custody business, and when we consolidate, we would eliminate that intercompany revenue, and we would show that in the other income line. All the intercompany eliminations are reflected in the other income line. So that's why you see the drop, or let's say low growth in custody, and why you see the increase in other revenues. Not that other revenues are increasing so much as we're subtracting less.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. And for the CIF ICAP question, let me pass it back to Oriol.
Hi, Gabriel. Let me try to explain that. During the last quarter of 2014, we saw an unusual high volatility and high traded volume. We mentioned that in the previous call that we had. So the numbers during the fourth quarter of 2014 were pretty good. So if we compare the fourth quarter of 2014 with the first quarter of 2015, the numbers are like 15% lower. However, I would say that that this is because of that, as well as because of seasonality. Because if we compare the first quarter of 2014 with the first quarter of 2015, we increased by the same amount, by 15%, 1.5. So I would say that it's very good compared first quarter to first quarter, but not so good fourth quarter to first quarter. So we'll have to wait until the fourth quarter of this year. But I think that it was a very good fourth quarter last year, and not bad compared to the first quarter of 2014.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Thank you for your question. The next question comes from the line of Carlos Gomez from HSBC. Please proceed, sir.
Hi, good morning. Two questions. First, on the severance payments, I wanted to confirm that everything is completely included in the first quarter, or do you expect some additional payments in coming periods? Second, on the dividend policy, so it's now going to be 75%. Should that be on recurrent income, meaning if the company has any goodwill write-downs or any other one-off items that in the past, would you continue to be willing to use capital reductions to offset any inability to continue to dividend at the same level? Thank you.
Okay, Carlos. The first one, the severance costs are not included in the first quarter, will be included in the second quarter of this year. So just to clarify, however, as mentioned during the call, we are not changing our guidance because of that. So it was something that we were expecting, that we mentioned a quarter ago, and we were planning to do so. And you will see the impact in the release of the second quarter figures. And I will pass to Ramon to answer the second one.
Carlos, the dividend policy, it says that we will seek to pay at least 75% of net income. It doesn't have a top limit, so we could pay more. Obviously, it depends on earnings and the financial situation of the company. But the idea is to pay at least 75% of net income going forward. This is a little less from what we've paid in the past, but we have to keep in mind that we'll soon begin to pay the Indeval loan, so we'll be having to use extra cash flow for that. But the idea is to pay at least. Mm-hmm. If we have further goodwill write-offs, or we'll analyze it as we see the case.
Okay. Since you mentioned the Indeval loan, do you expect, right now you have a pretty constant cash on your balance sheet that you obviously need for regulatory purposes. Is there any expectation that will change up or down in the coming period? Do you expect to either release cash or need more cash? Or should we assume that is constant and you will focus on reducing your bank loan?
No, I think when you say we have a constant level of cash, I assume you're talking year to year, because on a quarterly basis, cash always goes up in Q1 because we collect the maintenance fees. It goes back, goes down in Q2 when we pay the dividend.
Yeah, but I think of course, over time, yes.
Our main use of cash right now for the future years is the payment of the end of a loan. Should we see a strategic opportunity to invest, we'll definitely look at it. But for the time being, we do not plan to increase our cash position, and we have to pay the billion pesos for the Indeval within the next 5 years. Most likely the first payment will be in January of 2016. Could be in December or January.
Thank you very much.
And Carlos, going back to your first question, we mentioned just that there were some severance payments in Q1, but they were in addition to the effort that was made in Q2. Just to clarify that.
Okay, so it's unrelated to that. That refers to previous actions, not to what you have announced.
Yes, the big effort will be seen in Q2.
Okay, and you have not quantified that in any way yet?
No, we will talk about that in 3 months.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. If we have no questions, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, press star and then one on your touch-tone telephone. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Oriol Bosch, CEO, for closing remarks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and thank you all for participating today, and we look forward to updating you again on our next call. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect. Good day.